Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the reforms of Hezekiah as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
After Hezekiah had opened again the doors of the temple, had the place cleaned out, and reinstituted the worship within the temple, they decided to begin again the observing of the Jewish feast. They were too late to observe the feast of the Passover. They didn't have time to go through all of the ritual cleansing for it. And according to a special provision in the Mosaic law, if they weren't able to observe it in the first month, they could observe it in the second month. And so they called for a special observance of the Passover in the second month. The people were invited to come from the northern kingdom of Israel, because at this point Israel had already been conquered by Assyria and were more or less captive. They didn't completely wipe them out as yet, but they were subjugated to the Assyrians already. So those that remained were invited to come down to turn again to the Lord. Some scoffed at the invitation, others came. It was a glorious movement of God among the people. There was a tremendous spirit of revival. During the week of the Passover that they were celebrating together, it was so glorious, so wonderful. They said, let's go on for another week. And so in sort of a spontaneity, they continued the observance for the second week. And that brings us then to the beginning of chapter 31. Now, when all of this was finished, all of this, of course, was the observance of this Passover, this glorious work of God's Spirit in their lives, this time of spiritual renewal. When this was finished, the second week, all of Israel, those from the northern kingdom that were present, went out to the cities of Judah, and they broke the images in pieces. They cut down the Asherim, and they threw down the high places and the altars out of all of Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim, also in Manasseh, till they had utterly destroyed them all. Again, one of those glorious times of God moving upon the hearts of the people, and with the renewed commitment to God, the abhorring of those things that had drawn them away from the Lord and had brought them into captivity. And so not only in Judah and in Benjamin, but on up into Ephraim and Manasseh, they were destroying the false gods, the places of the worship for the false gods. And so all of the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites in their courses. Now, if a person were a Levite, a priest, then the difference, of course, the priest came from the house of Aaron, whereas the Levites were all of the priesthood, the house of the Kohathites and the Merarites. And they would serve in the temple 2 weeks out of the year. And then they would live out in the various cities that were appointed for the priest. They would live sort of regular type lives. They would farm their own fields and so forth. But 2 weeks out of the year, they had to fulfill the priestly duties. And when they would come to Jerusalem, then they would be given their particular duty. They'd sort of draw straws for who was to do what. And so your particular job would be designated by the lots that were drawn. So they would refer to them as serving according to their course. That was the 2 week specified time. And then the duty was also something that was just sort of specified by casting of lots. And this, of course, continued on into the New Testament times. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was ministering in the temple as was his lot, or his lot was. He was ministering according to his course, and his lot was to offer the incense before the altar of the Lord. And so that was where, of course, the angel Gabriel came to him and told him that his wife would have a son in her old age, and that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And so they reinstituted the temple worship on a regular, ongoing basis. It had ceased under the reign of Ahaz. And so they are again telling the priest, okay, you're going to get your 2 weeks. And they began to set the whole thing in order, bringing the priest in for their 2 weeks of duty and establishing the various duties according, it says, to his service. Every man according to his service, the priest and the Levites. And the service was in the offering of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And then to minister. The word minister is that of a servant, and to serve. And that's really our task. By serving you, we serve the Lord. And God has called us as servants. And so they were to minister, and then they were to give thanks. I love this. They had hired a certain number whose duty was just to give thanks to the Lord. They would stand in the house of the Lord singing praises and giving thanks. Wouldn't that be a neat job? Just to be paid for giving thanks to the Lord and just to serve him by singing and so forth. And then also to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So they established the whole temple worship again. And he appointed also the king's substance, or portion of his substance, for the burnt offerings. Hezekiah became very prosperous, very wealthy, and so he, of his own substance, gave the animals for the daily offerings that were to be offered unto the Lord. For these normal, regular, daily offerings, they were provided by Hezekiah the king himself. For the morning and the evening burnt offerings, and for the burnt offerings, for the Sabbaths, the new moons, for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And that law of the Lord is Numbers 28 and 29. So you can go back and read those sacrifices that are referred to here as they are detailed in the book of Numbers. Moreover, he commanded that the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Now, there were certain of the offerings that the priest got to keep himself. When he offered the heave offering, he got to keep the offering. It was usually grain that they would offer to the Lord, but then it became the priest. And usually it was a tithe or a tenth of the person's crop. Rather than bringing in money, they would actually bring in the grain. They'd bring in the lambs and so forth, one-tenth of their increase they would give to the Lord. And this provided for the needs of the priest. And so Hezekiah encouraged them again in the giving of these offerings so that the priest would be encouraged in their work. And the people whose hearts have been touched in this spiritual renewal began again to tithe of their first fruits. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of their corn, of their wine, of their oil, of their honey, and of all of the increase of the field, the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of their oxen, the sheep, the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and they laid them by heaps. They were bringing in mainly the grain, the tithe of the corn and the wheat and the barley and so forth, and they would just lay them in heaps or in piles. As you would pour your grain on the pile, it would just become a heap, a pile of grain. And so they laid them by heaps, and in the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and they finished it in the seventh month. What that means, of course, the third month is the month of June, when they harvest the grain crops. That is when they harvested the barley, that's when they harvested the wheat, and it was the beginning of the harvest season over there, and still is. As you begin to harvest your winter grains in the month of June. So that's when they began building up these heaps of grains. And of course, on during then the summer season, the corn and so forth. So that by the seventh month, of course, in the third month, the month of June, they had the feast of the Passover, which was the feast of first fruits, bringing them unto the Lord. In the seventh month, they had the feast of the tabernacles, which was, again, the Thanksgiving time of the year. The harvest is now completed. And thus, from the third month to the seventh month, the summer months, as the crops are producing, they would bring in the tithe, the tenth, and so they began to heap up. The foundation of the heaps were made in the third month in the beginning of the grain harvest, and they continued to just pile it on until the seventh month when the harvest was completed. And thus, by the end of the seventh month, there was just a tremendous amount of grain and food supplies and all, enough for the supporting of the priesthood. So when Hezekiah came with the princes and they saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. It's always a blessing to see people respond to God, to respond with a willing heart, to respond in generosity to the things of the Lord. It's just always a blessing. And they came down and they saw all these heaps of grain and corn and dried fruits and all. All right, Lord, bless those people, you know. And you just spontaneously, and that is true praise, that which just spontaneously arises from your heart when you see the work of God, especially in the hearts of the people. And you say, oh, Lord, that's... bless them, Lord, you know. And Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. What are we going to do with all this? And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat. We have plenty left over, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store here. I mean, we've got plenty, and we've got all this left over. So Hezekiah commanded that they make bins, chambers, in the house of the Lord, in which to store all of this surplus grain and all that it brought in. And so they prepared these chambers, these little bins for the, or the large bins, I guess, for the grain and all, and they brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully. And then it tells us the names of the priests that were set to take care of this abundance. And we're not going to bother with their names. Verse 16. And beside their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even to everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for the service in their charges according to their courses. They have plenty to take care of all of them, the little fellows from 3 years old who began to follow their dads on into the whole group. And both the genealogy of the priests by the house of their fathers and the Levites from 20 years old and upward, in their charges by their courses. So the charge was the duty that they had, the course was the 2 weeks' time, and they began that ministry actively at the age of 20. And unto the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, their sons, their daughters, through all the congregation, for their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. And so the Levites, again, dedicated themselves to the task of ministry unto the Lord and unto the people. Also the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every city appointed to the priest, which was called the several city, a city of refuge, the men that were expressed by name to give the portions to all of the males among the priests and to all that were reckoned by the genealogies among the Levites. And thus they were distributing the food among the priesthood. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all of Judah. He wrought that which was good and right and truth before Yahweh his God. So the record of Hezekiah, as he started his reign, he was doing that which was good, that which was right and truth before the Lord. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart. So we see here, first of all, the purpose of Hezekiah was to serve the Lord in all of the work that he began in the service of the house of God, to keep the commandments of God and to seek God. That was his purpose. But he did it with all of his heart. That was his method of just going wholeheartedly for it. And the result was he prospered. Always so. Put the Lord first in your life. Seek the Lord, and God will bless you. Now, after these things, this reestablishing of the priesthood, the spiritual renewal among the people, after these things, and the establishment thereof, having established again this whole worship for the people, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came, and he entered into Judah, and he encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Having established the people again in their relationship to the Lord, then comes a testing. The Assyrians had been successful in conquering over Syria, over the northern kingdom of Israel, and over many other kingdoms. They were cruel people, they were vicious people. History records them as some of the cruelest. They would brutally mutilate those that they would take captive, disfiguring them. Deliberately. They would repopulate the people. They would take them from their homeland and separate them into small little groups in foreign countries, totally demoralizing them. That is why when the Lord called Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, and call on them to repent, or God would destroy them, Jonah headed the other way. For Jonah knew that God was merciful. And Jonah was afraid that he might have a successful mission to Nineveh. He was afraid that the people hearing of the impending judgment of God, they might repent and God would not destroy them. And so Jonah decided that he was going to get out of there. He would rather die than go to Nineveh, because Nineveh was a threat. Assyria was a threat to Israel, and ultimately did take Israel. So historically, we're in about the time of Jonah, the time of the Assyrian power, and the call of God to Jonah to go warn them concerning the judgment of God that will come within 40 days. And of course, we know the story of Jonah, how that God intercepted him on his way to Tarsus and brought him back, and how that he then went to Nineveh, and just as he feared, the people repented in sackcloth and ashes right up to the king, and God spared the city, and Jonah went out and sat under the tree and just pouted. God said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I knew you were kind and loving and gracious. I knew that. Now look, you know, you're not bringing your judgment on them." He really wanted them wiped out. And God said to Jonah, "Look, there are 60,000 little children in that city who are so small they don't even know their right hand from their left hand yet." Interesting to me that God's mercy really was extended because of the little kids. He spared the city really for their sake as much as anything. But Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has now targeted Judah, and he intends to destroy and bring Judah into captivity.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the victory of Hezekiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May you experience the joy of the Lord this way, as His love fills your heart, and as you make your commitment to serve God. In Jesus' name.
Come and study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a new, digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's 323 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on an 8-gig reusable flash drive. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer's USB drive. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto a key ring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-222-9673. 972-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.